Welcome to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we trade sweet, sweet facts like they're dirty little pieces of gossip. We rate each other's facts. The points don't matter. But what does matter is that we're all hot. Hi, I'm Rachel, and we were talking about assassins before we started recording. And a fun fact about me is that I got asked out to prom my junior year right after we watched the assassination of JFK in my history class. My date was my like best friend at the time. Still at the time. That sounds so rude. You've met him, Sam. And he knew my history class was my favorite class. So he asked my history teacher to put in like a PowerPoint slide. But she put it in right after the assassination of JFK. So we literally are like watching Jackie O on the back of the car try to like grab for pieces of his head. And then it's like, Rachel, will you go to prom with me? Love your secret admirer. To people were like, who is it? And I was like, it's Sam, who was out and gay. And everyone was like whispering like, isn't he gay? So it just was like a real awkward time in that class. That's my fact.
I am Chloe. I had a junior and senior prom. Sorry, but our school did too.
Oh, same.
Congrats. Yeah. It was so much money. And I was a messy bitch both times just because I was just like, I don't know how to say no. And I didn't know I was gay, but I was like, I don't want to go with any of these boys. So first, my ex-boyfriend, Garrett, I knew he was going to ask me. So I avoided him for weeks. And then he found me in my car. And then I was like, yeah, I'll go with you. Instead of just saying no. So I went with Garrett to junior. Garrett's a great guy. I think he's married now. Hey, Garrett. But senior year was really fucking messy. I dated the guy I went with after for 4 years. And he basically, he had already asked someone to go to prom. Then we like started talking or whatever we do. Then he was like, what am I going to do? So he basically was like, I'll go with you. And he then ditched the other girl to take me to prom. And I was like, dude, that's not good.
So eloquently put.
But again, I didn't say no. I was like, yeah, I like this. This is good. And then we dated for 4 years. And now I'm gay.
I love the journey.
I'm Lindsay. And I didn't really want to go to prom. But I went, and then I realized it was really easy to tell who was hooking up with who because everyone in my year wore a feather boa, but they all molted. So it was like if like the feather boas that the women were wearing would end up on like the guy. So it was very easy to tell I played prom detective because I was like, oh, these people.
We love.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Shem. We only had one prom at our school. I don't know why we did it. It was just like, let's be like the Americans for a night. And then I went, wore like my church clothes because I didn't have like a proper suit. And then I was like holding like my friend's like bag. He was like, oh, just hold on to this bag for me. And I was like, okay. And then this woman came up to me and said, hey, do you want to dance? And then that's never happened to me in my whole history of being in nightclubs, both before this time and since. And she came and said, hey, do you want to dance? And I was like, I'm holding my friend's bag, so I can't. And then she says, I'm not going to ask you twice. then I looked to the bathroom my friend was. He still didn't come, so I looked at his bag and was like, I got to hold on to his bag. And she disappeared. And I never saw her ever again.
Can dance with a backpack on.
Yeah, what was this bag?
Frequently, I do.
So I love how like she's like, I'm not gonna ask you twice, and you're like, sorry,
I'm here with the bag.
Wow, sad. Okay, wow. That was homie and Shem. Hi, my name is Jess. Okay, well. My boyfriend in high school, we went to winter formal together. Sorry, slight, not an A to C, just an A to B. Different.
I love it.
And we got into the great situation of when the lights come up, and I realized he had a boner, and I was trying to do him a solid of walking out
Like, I tried to grab his hands and do the thing where, like, he keeps his hands around my waist and we walk out, like, two people in a potato sack.
Yes.
And he, especially, like, our very straight-laced vibe and where we were at with each other, was trying to hide the boner from me.
Beautiful.
And I was like, you cannot hide this boner from me, who was just dancing with you. Please let me hide this boner from the rest of the room. You're safe with me with your boner. But we weren't speaking this. We were just like scooting and scooting as we walked out of this. We kept just scooting away from each other. And he's like trying to do the thing where he puts his hand in his pocket to like create some distance. And I'm just like, the die is cast. We like can't unring the bell. It's okay. We talked about it like a year later. I was like, I was fully trying to I knew you had a boner. Aww. I was trying to help. But what can you do? What can you do those moments?
I imagine you guys doing like a cute little like hip sway out together. Like almost like a conga line, like a little action.
Also funny on my part that I thought that anybody would also notice or care, probably like 50 other boys are having this, like if this is happening like everywhere around us, and so like no one's paying attention to him either, but I'm like let me save you from this embarrassment. And again, no one's looking, everyone's just like shuffling out.
Well, because that's so funny to picture a bunch of couples just like that, just like doing the dune walk out of the gym. Yes, or wherever
yeah, exactly. Don't disturb the sand too much. Whoa.
I'm obsessed. Well, we already know that she's super stealthy when it comes to hiding a little boner. Please put your hands together for our guest. You know her from Off Book, the podcast. It's Jess McKenna.
Hello.
Wow. I still get surprised every time that happens.
That was great.
It's a good feeling.
In the moment, not in post. That's great.
Yep.
He's got a fancy little board.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me. And thanks for setting a table of prom facts.
I love, you know.
An endless well.
Yeah. That same prom date I had senior year. And at that point, we were both like, you know, this is the backup situation. Neither of us want to be here. But I insisted that he asked me in a cute way again. I was like, I want to feel like I'm part of the girls. Yeah. And it was fine. It was good. It was good. Not after JFK. So it was better this time.
Great.
Good. Yeah, we love. We're going to jump straight into the facts. I'm actually going to start. Chloe. Okay. Since you went last time, are you ready?
Of what I thought was going to happen.
mine is nipple related. Okay, no background. Basically, new study found that men, actually a little background because we have to say what the study was. Okay, so a group of whatever these researchers, scientists, professionals.
scientists.
Basically, they set up a study to study male behavior. So they were like, what effect will erect nipples have on men's behavior and their decisions?
I'm listening.
Shrem's like, I'm erect, I'm ready.
I'm so sorry. I immediately need a clarifying question.
Absolutely.
Is it when the men's nipples are erect or the site of erect nipples?
Site. So they basically would flash.
Oh, see, I thought it was different.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the question. Because we would have,
we would have been on different pages.
The way this is going, we would have been in trouble.
I was like, an increased sensitivity when their nipples are hard or the site of. Okay, great. Thank you.
And they said gay men don't exist here. They showed them only pictures of female nipples. Faces were blurred because they were like, we don't want their emotions to affect it. Nipple only.
Got it.
Good technique.
Yes.
Well, you want to reduce variables in the science.
Yeah. Just boobies.
So men perceived women with nipple erection as more deserving of altruism, especially if that altruism involved greater interaction with the woman. And
they expected these women, the erected nipple women, erected nippled women. Yeah, there we go. They expected those women to also behave more altruistically towards them. Lastly, they also believed the women with erect nipples should be included in their social groups.
After seeing your nipples, I'm thinking maybe we should play a game. Game night?
How long have I told you to be my nipple friend and you refuse to see my nipples?
Just because I say I don't want to see your nipples doesn't mean we can't hang out.
But I do like the last footnote, which is that women, on the other hand, did not perceive them as more deserving. Blah, 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 blah. They were like, women didn't think any of this. They were like, everybody deserves a little nicety.
So was the control, like, did they see unerect nipples and then,
yeah.
Okay.
So like, if you got, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Interesting.
Have you ever heard the, like, maybe apocryphal story that they kept the studio extra cold during the tapings of Friends so that their nipples would be erect?
Yes.
And that's maybe because they needed men to say, I could be a friend group with these.
That's why it's so popular.
No, maybe
like
that's
the premise
it.
Of the show will not work.
We need them to think they could be friends. How men think these women are deserving of altruism, which is such a broad idea, not like attraction. Altruism.
Just
the baseline of humanity's goodness. Wow. Are they deserving or not?
That's why so
you
many
got
women.
Hard nipples. Yeah. The rest can fight for themselves.
Hell yeah,
oh my
man.
Gosh.
That's why so many winter festivals are about giving. I've just hacked Christmas.
The reason for the season is because of boobies. I'm just like trying to wrap my head around like how this experiment went down in a way where it wasn't completely obvious to the men that like they were supposed to be attracted to the erect nipples. Like I'm wondering if they like did a, go ahead.
My theory is nipples themselves and areolas, they're all so different that men were probably just like, whoa.
Yeah, they're not paying attention.
Whoa. Just like different.
That's true.
They're all so unique.
But imagine, like, I would feel wildly uncomfortable if someone asked me to look at nipples and be like, does this woman deserve kindness? Like, I don't know how they phrased altruism. Like, if you saw this woman on the street, would you spit in her face or would you say, hi, ma'am?
Maybe it was like one versus two, and one was like hard nipples and the other was like any nipples. And they were like, that number one.
Any or any?
No, any.
Oh, any. I couldn't tell if you said any in a fun way.
Or like an eye exam, you know, where it's like the nipple keeps getting harder. Is it better on the left or the right? And they keep alternating going back. And then it's just like, we keep desiring. It's just like, you know, I felt like if I saw this slide, I would help them with their groceries.
I know.
More kind or less kind? More kind? Less kind.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe this is why they say that people only have superficial relationships in Los Angeles. Our nipples are never erect because it's always
so warm. It's so balmy. It's so balmy.
And that's why I have so many friends in Maine.
Yes. deep bonds made on that cold coast.
Oh, my God. Famously, I'm only friends with chilly people.
Yeah. All of Canada makes sense. Great.
Yeah, they're so kind. Wow.
Oh, wow. That's great. You know what, Chloe? I'm going to say that fact is as hot as the temperature of cold, where it's so cold that it turns hot, how erect nipples would be in that temperature.
What?
You know what I'm saying? You know when it gets so cold that it actually gets hot? You know when a cold burns you?
Like freezer burn.
Oh, like, yeah, like, oh, like a,
are
yeah.
we discovering a different phenomenon like, that Chloe doesn't have?
No, I've never heard it described as when it gets so cold, it gets hot.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, yeah.
But imagine that temperature, how erect your nipples would be in that temperature. That's how hot your vag is. Sorry, I took you on a journey there.
My nipples are gone.
They just burn right off.
Chloe, that fact was as hot as just any nipples in an uncomfortable shirt, but just moving around.
Oh, ow. Chloe, that fact is as hot as no wearing a bra.
Oh, that's hot.
Ooh, that is hot.
Chloe, that fact is as hot as the molten center of a brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart fresh out of the toaster.
Ooh.
They're cool because they're hot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jess, I just need to take a moment here because brown sugar cinnamon is my favorite flavor of Pop-Tart, and I feel like I get red for that all the time.
Are you serious?
And I can't find them in my grocery store anymore, and I'm worried that they're gone. I don't know what it is. I have like an actual, not just like a New York City like tiny grocery store, but like I have a big grocery store by me, and they don't have them, and every time I get upset.
I don't understand.
I know.
It's a pillar of the product is the brown sugar.
It's a classic.
Cinnamon.
And they don't even have a store brand. And every time we go, I get so upset. My girlfriend's like, I think you have got a problem.
No, it's the only good flavor,
it's
in my
so
opinion.
It's so delicious. Oh, thank you. Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say it's the only one I go to. I was a real like wouldn't eat breakfast kid. And my mom just was like throwing her hands up in the air to the point where literally as still like a high school child, she was setting like the oven on and making me like a churro and giving me a smoothie to start my day. Just a true sugar bomb because I wouldn't eat anything else. And she was just like, it is much more important that you have anything in your system, even if it is a candy bar. We got to give you something. But I always had to be at school at 6:55. And I was like, I can't be hungry till like 10 anyway. I tried to convince her. Let me go out sans. Just introduce my mom to intermittent fasting before it was a thing. She's like, absolutely not. I will wake up early to make you a 17-year-old
churro.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, she's incredible. But also, like, in retrospect, probably just nothing would have been better.
And you'd be fine with just the OJ.
I'll have, like, a great apple at 10 and, like, mm-hmm. a bar then when my stomach is actually awake. But
yeah. I love that. I love it. Well, I'm glad we went off on that.
Yeah, oh man, that's my favorite Pop-Tart for sure.
It's a good one. Speaking of people who are my favorite, Shem.
Oh, wow.
You didn't think that was going to go to you.
No, wow. How fitting. Just my small fact is that our ancestors were scared of bears and that the word bear in many languages in Europe, including English, means brown thing. And that the anthropologists believe that there was a word for the actual creature bear, but it became taboo because saying it would be thought to summon a bear. So in time, the euphemism, like the actual word for bear, died out, and just the euphemism of brown thing or bear stayed. And then also on that, so the Arctic draws its name from Arcticus. So the Arctic is called the land of bears, and Antarctic is land without bears. And then in Eastern Slavic languages, they were so scared that even saying brown thing became taboo. So they use a word that means the one who knows where honey is. So in Slovak, the word bear is medved. So med is honey, and then ved is like to know. It's like a bear is just like...
Knows honey.
The guy who knows where honey is.
It's my honey guy.
What do they call bees?
Makes honey.
Great
makes
point.
Honey.
Great.
Makes the honey for the...
Makes honey.
Wait, that's actually really cute.
That's really sweet.
I thought this was going to take a bad turn, but it didn't. I love it. The thought that saying a word will summon it is really funny to me.
It's Beetlejuice logic.
Yeah, I was trying to make it into Macbeth, but that's like a little different.
It's like manifesting. I will say it and the bear will appear.
Oh, this all makes sense. This all makes sense now.
I love how universal the fear of bears is. I feel like, I mean, and rightly so, they're terrifying. Yeah. They're really so scary.
They're so big.
They're so big and they're so fast.
Mm-hmm.
One time I did a deep dive of how to escape bears. And the answer is you can't.
Don't you like either try to like make yourself big or like die?
Yeah.
Like
or
dead?
Die.
You like act dead.
Yeah. Sorry, or die. And here's my question for you.
Yes.
You're out in the woods. Okay. Do you feel confident that upon stumbling on a bear, you would know if it was a grizzly or a black bear?
Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
Exactly. In that moment of panic, and you're supposed to do different things for different bears.
Oh no.
And that just makes it like, well, what are we talking about? Like, I'm like, I would be that person that's like, don't speak their name. Because, like, right. That's so scary.
Yeah, don't get it wrong, because is it a grizzly or a black bear?
Yeah, you're done. Because black bears, you can get big for. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if I camp in California, there's only black bears. So I'm typically on a hike. It's just like, yep, make noise, be in a group. Yep. If you see one, you get big and you, like, you know, make noise and you just don't mess with them, don't feed them, but they are, you'd like understand that dynamic. Then we went hiking in Montana where they have grizzlies, and it's like, they also have both there. So it's like, okay,
what do you want me to do?
Guess right. Because a grizzly, you're not supposed to make eye contact with. You're supposed to protect your vital organs and hope for the best. Truly.
So is that like, what fetal, is that the fetal position one? Okay.
Yeah. That's the one where you get small and you just are like, okay.
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best. And then also if you, this is the least likely, but if you ever encounter a polar bear, you're really dead. There's really nothing.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do for a polar bear.
Except hand it a Coke.
That's right. I'll take this bear fact extremely seriously. Scare the shit out of anyone.
You're like, no,
he's
no.
Not already scared of a bear.
Could I hike dressed as a bear? Is that gonna help me?
Oh. No, it's hard to climb. Like, that's just bad hiking.
Well, I can put some boots under feet.
That's a good thought. Yeah. I like that thought.
I like it.
Mountain lions really scare me also. And they're sneaky.
I grew up in Arizona and that was a thing, yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh, they're not good. Those you're supposed to get big. But I'm 5'3". I'm like, what do you want me to do?
I've been trying to get big for years.
I've been trying. I've been trying to get fucking swole.
I know, us to get us on top of each other, just like a regular sized man.
Any man, yeah.
I used to live in a Japanese mountain village, and then one day one of the old people, young people leave the village, it's just old people around. But when the old people would like mumbling to me about like bears like being in the woods, and I was like, what do you mean? Like, because my Japanese was like okay, but it wasn't like great. There's like no, and he tried to like describe like bears, and then we figured out he was talking about bears, and I said there were bears in the woods, and it's like, what do you do if you see a bear? And he just like shrugged and went, nothing. And then just
it's truly like, good luck, your luck has run out.
He just looked at me with this like sad, like despondent look, went, and it was like a real chill like went through my body, because like there was no like differentiation of like, there's no information about the types of bear or like the genus or like the any specific information. It was just all like, just be scared is all you can do.
And that
same village, there'd be like just monkeys, but not like, just some kind of like mountain monkey would just descend into the village and just walk the streets, and then there's nothing you can do. You just have to like not be seen by the mountain monkey. It was like nuts.
Wow.
That's
great.
My girlfriend's grandma was talking a lot about how polar bears are like breaking into people's houses. Wait, did we talk about this on the podcast?
No.
Okay, I talked about it with her. No. Okay, good. I was like, who did I talk about this? You or a grandma?
Wow, wait.
They're like breaking into people's houses in Alaska because they're running out of food. They just like come into like people's homes and will just like open up their fridge. There's like a photo of like a polar bear going through a woman's fridge. And it's fascinating. I love it. See, I would be the person though that would try to make friends with the bear. Do you remember when Chloe and I were in a cabin and a baby bear, I will
do
say
I
baby.
Do I remember Brian? I do.
I know. I was like, I'm the dumbass who's like, I'm naming you. And every time we went out the hot tub, I was like, I wonder if Brian's around here.
No, truly, the whole time Shem was telling that story, I was like, and then there's us idiots in upstate New York, like, going between windows, like, Brian, come here! Trying to get this little baby bear.
I love a bear. Like, I was like, how do I see a bear in a perfect setting? Mm-hmm. Like, actually, right before we started this massive hike we did, we saw a baby black bear from our car. And I was like, perfect. You stay there.
Yeah.
And now no more bears for the rest of the day because it's going to get scary because I'm about to walk where the scary kind are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we took this break. We were literally like by this gorgeous alpine lake. My husband was like, okay, you feeling a little calmer? Because I was very scared. And I was like, yeah, this is so pretty. Oh my gosh. You can see like, oh my gosh, this is so gorgeous. You can see right down. Look at all those rainbow trout. I know who eat trout. We gotta go. Like, it was just like, also, we had been with my family earlier part of that trip, and my mom was like falling for the tourist trap of all the like huckleberry goods that you can get in Montana and like huckleberry stands. And we were leaving, Morgan and I, to go like do some more camping after being at this cabin with my family. And my mom was like, take some huckleberry stuff. And I was like, okay. Sometimes it's easier to just say, sure, I'll take huckleberry stuff. And so she's like, okay, I'll just put it in your bag over here. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I get into our car, and I had two different backpacks, and she had put a bunch of huckleberry stuff in my hiking pack.
Oh,
and I was like, you basically put bear like on my back. Luckily, I found it before we went hiking, but I was like,
she's trying to kill me.
She's trying to kill me.
This reminds me when I was in South Africa with my, I went with some friends from Japan, and we went to like the Cape Point, like the Cape of Good Hope, like area there, and you can like hike up. It was great. And then my friend Takashi just loved hard rusks. They're like these like buttermilk biscuits you can bet. And he like ate a bunch of them and was like, these are amazing. These are great. Like, oh, this is the greatest invention. I love South Africa. And then we're wandering up this this mountain trail and there are all these school kids in front of us. And suddenly we hear all the shouting and clamoring. And then this small like simian creature like runs all the way down. Past all the kids, runs to my friend Takeshi, grabs his bag, runs like down, walks that down in front of him, like stares him in the eye, unzips the bag, pulls out this bag of like rusks, and then runs off into like the woods with it. And it was, yeah, it was nuts. Like we were all like terrified. And then all the school kids just like laughed at him for the rest of the trip. They were just, you got a jack by a monkey. Ah.
Yeah.
It was great.
I was gonna say, whenever we go to India, because my dad's from India, he's like, don't make eye contact with the monkeys, Rachel, because I'm the asshole who's like, oh, and he's like, do not. they'll fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
What were you gonna say? Sorry.
I don't remember.
Oh, that's okay. Shem, that fact truly was as hot as hot dripping honey on a nice biscuit. Wow. It's hot, but it also like, it could be dangerous, but it's also cute.
Biscuits scare me.
That fact is as hot as the bear that got in my friend's garden in Connecticut and hopped in the hammock and was like, you know what? I'm taking a break. I've left baby bear over there. I'm chilling.
Mm-hmm. It's hot.
It is hot.
It's hot.
It's bold.
Mm-hmm. Shem, effect is as hot as there was a polar beverages, there was a giant polar bear that you could see right off the highway from like right near my house. And it kept getting destroyed like every year. But they kept putting her back up. And it's as hot as that bear, baby.
Wow. Resilience is hot. Yeah,
it's a hot bear. Oh, that is beautiful.
Shem, that fact was as hot as baby bear Brian in a hot tub.
We had a hot tub there. He probably was.
I know, because I said I was talking about how we were in the hot tub.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
I was too hung up on just Brian.
She was just listening to us.
Like, how did you know?
Wow, baby bear Brian's bath. All right.
Well, maybe she's psychic, or maybe she's just a good listener. But we're gonna go to our guest next after this short word from our sponsors, and we're back. Jess, you can take it away.
Okay, so this fact is a fact, but it's sort of an anecdote. It is a fact. Okay, so I've been fascinated by this Charles Dickens and. Okay, one second. Charles Dickens and his name? He's like the one who wrote fairy tales.
Yeah. Suddenly all of the names have left my head.
The Grim Man.
Not the Grim Man, the other one.
Aesop.
Nope, not that one. The Dutch one. No, Danish. Danish.
Hans Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian Andersen, yeah, there you go. Great work. Great work, beautiful team. Okay, so Charles Dickens and Hans Christian Andersen were contemporaries, and Dickens was like a celebrity, and Hans Christian Andersen was not really as appreciated in his time. Also, he sort of fought that what he was good at was writing fairy tales, tried to be like a travel writer, but then would write stuff like, I'm on this beautiful hike. You walk out from town, head east towards the ridge, and imagine if fairies. He couldn't help himself from. And Dickens, you know, was like, you know, really, really popular. But they had met at a function in England 20 years prior, and Hans Christian Andersen, sort of like an odd duck, and Charles Dickens is very successful and very respected in his time, has like a manor house, is basically like a rock star. So like essentially what happens is like in England, Dickens says something casually like, and you should come by sometime. And Hans Christian Andersen like 20 years later just shows up at his door. Stop. And is like, hello. I'm cashing in that invite. And Dickens is like, excuse me? And Dickens's daughters are like, who is this guy? And Hans Christian Andersen just sort of stays at Dickens's house for 2 weeks.
Stop.
That's amazing.
I do feel like I would relate to that. I feel like that's right? something that dumb that would happen to me where I'd be like, I'm here.
I'm here. Like, who are you?
That's kind of precious.
It's really, I'm like very, despite me blanking on his name, I really think about this a lot. So I'm like, what was that dynamic where someone is just like, hello?
I'm here.
It's like such a, it's such a house guest comedy from like 1992. Mm-hmm. It's like where then they're scheming of like how to get Hans out of there, and Hans is like not picking up on it.
I'm imagining like the daughters are trying to get ready, and like yes. Hans is taking time in the bathroom, and they're like, oh, why is your friend Hans here?
Yeah, exactly.
I was truly hoping they were like, who's this? And then he's like, I'm Hans Christian Andersen. I write these fairy stories, and they were like, woo, it's Hans.
Or they fell in love. Not.
Yeah, I think unfortunately they were like
older.
Yeah. I think they were like teens, and he's like shows up in his early 40s to chill with their dad, and they're like, please get him out of here.
What a, I know it was, he wasn't expecting it, but what a like dad thing to be like, oh, this is my buddy. He's going to stay here for 2 weeks. It is what it is.
We met 20 years ago, and I mentioned
one
what
time
I'm gonna
I
do.
Said, the next time you're in England, hit me up. And yeah. he like did, but he's at our house.
Anyway, that's my best friend. I love him so much.
I gotta go write Bleak House. So like, can you
listen? It's hard to make male friends at my age. So just like support me on this.
I think this is actually my anxiety of like anytime someone like genuinely offers help and is like, hey, if you ever want to like talk industry things or like if you ever need advice, like shoot me an email. And I'm to me, writing someone an email is showing up as Hans being like, I'm here for 2 weeks. That's how I perceive it in my head.
Some people really want you to take up those invites, though. Like, I worked at a pub, like, when I was 18, and friends there, like, one was from New Zealand, one was from Spain, like, Luis and Soleil. They moved back, like, over to Spain, and they invited every, like, so many people at the pub, like, come visit, come visit. And when I went to see them, they're like, we're so happy you actually came to visit. Like, we told this person, and they said yes, and then this one, and they said yes. So, like...
I know. I feel like my anxiety would never let me do that because I'd be like, you hate me. This is an imposition. Like my parents met, they used to drive to New Orleans because they lived like 5 hours away, almost like once a month. And they would go to the same little like cafe for brunch. And they like saw the regular so often that these people like invited them to their homes for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, and you went? you went to their home? That's weird.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Good.
And they literally like stayed the night at their house. And yeah, I was
lovely.
Like, that's actually so nice.
That's
I,
so sweet.
I should, you know, trust people's, yeah.
My friend lives literally across the road, and they still haven't like. And he said, "Yeah, like hit me up, like let's go for like a drink," and then like I just haven't. Still, that was like months ago, and then yeah, I just nothing's changed. Months will pass.
The way I think of it is like if I said it to someone, I would mean it, so they probably want you to take you up on the offer.
That's true, and actually. Yeah. Such a great way to frame it. Thanks, Lynn.
And also, like, this guy just showed up, you know?
Yeah. It's different. It's different.
It's way different. You give a little email that's like, hey, I'm going to be passing through England. I remember. Could we do something casual? Maybe meet up one night. Where are you going to be?
Get a coffee.
Get a coffee. Make that bar a little lower then. Hello, I'm here for you.
I've shown up with 2 weeks worth of clothing.
Also, what if they weren't home? What if they were like, I'm out of England for the month or something? Like,
or we're like ill. You don't know.
Yeah, that's true. You don't know.
You really don't know.
Wow. All right, Jez, that fact is as hot as I would find it if someone was like, hey, visit me. I actually mean it. And like gives me all of the verbal reassurance I need. I actually mean it. This isn't a nicety. And then follows up like a week later and was like, I do want you to know that I did want to get together, which I have had a friend do. I had a friend that moved to LA. We haven't seen each other in a long time. And she's been really busy working. So every time I'm in LA, I'm like, I'm not going to bug her. I don't want her to think I'm just hanging out because like she's like getting work. And she like reached out to me this time and was like, Rachel, like, we can actually hang out. And I was like, okay, it's fine. I don't want to take up your space. But that would be hot.
Go see him.
That'd be hot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That fact is as hot as when Thumbelina's heart is full when she imagines herself being tall.
Oh, really good.
I heard heart as hot. Oh. So I heard Thumbelina's hot as Thumbelina's hot. And I was like,
hot. When your heart is full of love, you feel 9 feet tall. I love that. It's a song from the Hans Christian Andersen movie that I was obsessed with as a child.
I love it. I'm surprised I don't know.
Yes, that fact was as hot as Oliver Twist's first bowl of porridge. Like the initial scoop.
Really good.
Piping.
Yeah. Keeps it coming back for more.
That's why he wants more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. I did have to look up the name. Just, in fact, is as hot as The Collection by Emily Dickinson. Open me carefully. It's Emily Dickinson's intimate letters to Susan Huntington Dickinson.
Whoa. Whoa.
Wow. Very nice.
And that sounds like also a great book, Reg.
Yeah, I was like, honestly, do I read it?
Open me carefully.
Yeah. All right, next we're going to go to Lynn's.
Okay, this is a real, real short facts today.
Okay.
The Cookie Monster's real name is Sid.
Oh.
He has a real name. It's not just Cookie Monster.
With an I or a Y?
I was curious about the spelling. Okay. Yeah, with an I. Okay, and different. Then the Pillsbury Doughboy is called Poppin' Fresh, and his wife is called Poppy Fresh. And then the person who's on the operation board game is called Cavity Sam.
I have so much I need to unpack right now.
There's also a lot more that I didn't bring in. These are the ones I've retained.
The Pillsbury Doughboy is married and we're still calling him a boy? He's a man.
He has a child, a cat, and a dog. The dog is called Flapjack and the cat is called Biscuit.
Is it Pillsbury Dough Cat?
What's the kid's name?
Why have we not seen
Bun
this?
Bun.
The kid's name is Bun Bun. Poppy had a bun in her bun oven.
Oh. Wait, I feel like we've never seen them. Have we ever seen them?
I'm from the UK, so we didn't have as much Pillsbury Doughboy as other stuff. But I did find pictures before.
I wonder if it was like an old campaign or something. But
yeah. I think it was. She appeared. Let me see when she appeared.
And we abandoned them?
That feels rude.
Can't be tied down.
She was introduced.
He's getting tickled
by
the
Doughboy now. Fuck those.
He's like, anyone can tickle me.
Marketing were like, bros aren't buying Pillsbury anymore.
1973, Poppy appeared.
Okay.
I messed up. The son is called Papa. The daughter is named Bun Bun. The dog, there's Flapjack, a cat, Biscuit, and they were all introduced in 1974.
Lindsay's looking at a straight up family portrait.
Yeah.
What you can't see is they all have erect nipples. So it's like real endearing.
It's truly adorable. Yeah.
Okay. That is the first thing I needed to unpack. The second thing is Cookie Monster has a name and we've just been calling him a monster this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
How rude.
Yeah. He's called Sydney Monster.
Sydney?
Sydney.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's Shem's really about sweet. To Shem's about to show us the photo.
No, it's okay. Google's not playing.
Oh, just kidding.
I mean,
I'm so sorry.
And then the guy on the operation board is Cavity Sam, which feels mean. Sam. I don't know if it's because he just has so many cavities.
Like he's at the wrong doctor.
I know. Right?
He's just like full of cavities. Yeah. Like
any
cavity.
Of that should be treated. He should be under for any of those operations. Right. So the fact that we see his big eyes. Like, we're straight up freaks.
There's a problem.
Oh, that,
go ahead.
Oh, this was just related to that. Did y'all see that? I think it was Jessica Alba movie where she stayed awake or woke up mid-surgery.
No, but that preview of the movie where it's just a close-up of the eye and they can't move anything, but you just see a tear coming down the eye because they're in pain has made me scared to go to the doctors. Like,
that's like, really terrifying.
Yeah, that I saw that at too young. I never saw the movie. I saw the preview at too young of an age where it like burned in my brain.
Yeah, that'll stick.
That'll stick. Ugh. The article that Shem has pulled up says people have thoughts about the Pillsbury Doughboy's name. And I bet we can send them this episode and they'll link to it.
Whoa.
They all have
a family man.
I do love the grandpa.
I don't know what his name is. He didn't make the article I was reading. Wow.
They're cute.
Mm-hmm. They're really cute.
Yeah, that's three kids. Looks like
the kids are following, it looks like perhaps the Simpsons model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm feeling it.
I think the Simpsons are following.
The Pills are coming.
Good point. Oh. Whoa. Suck on that, Simpson.
The research also led me down a path where it was like Homer J. Simpson. The J stands for J, and I was like, "That's not a good J A Y." The name, and I was like,
"I remember that episode."
Yeah,
it's when he reconnects with his mom, and she mm-hmm. lives on the commune, and he's like, "What does the J stand for?" And she like pulls it back from a painting, and it's like J.
We have a Simpsons writer up next. So I'm just gonna like attack her with all these. Come on, Christine.
I'm obsessed. Oh. I'm like still thinking about it. Well, mm-hmm. Lindsay, that fact is as hot as my favorite Pillsbury treat, which I actually talked about on the last episode, which is a Pillsbury cinnamon roll on a cold morning, and you sprinkle a little bit of flaky Maldon salt on it. So it's a little salty, a little sweet. Yum. And it's delicious. Yeah. And if I'm feeling like freaky and like I'm not taking a break from meat, some bacon on the side.
Ooh.
That's hot.
Yum.
Lindsay, that fact was as hot as the Michelin Man, my favorite of the named characters, because his name's Bibendum, which is like Latin to drink. Which
Bibendum?
Bibendum.
Freaky.
I love conjugating Latin verbs. That's how I get down.
You do.
Wow. An additional fact in there.
Yeah.
We love
Bibendum. Lindsay. That fact was as hot as a chocolate chip cookie that's burning a certain sweet monster's mouth.
Ooh. Ooh.
Sid. Slow down, Sid. Let him cool just a little bit.
Calm down.
I'm now just seeing Scream remade with Sid the Monster instead of Sidney Prescott.
Oh, see, I imagine the bully in the Toy Story.
Sid.
Yeah.
Also, there's something about like let it cool down just a little bit that sounded like early, like 2009 hip hop to me. Like not early. I mean, like early 2010s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Of like slow down, let it cool just down. A little bit. Here we go. Let it slow just a little bit.
The best era.
Yeah.
Really, the second golden age.
By eating baked goods too quickly.
Lince, in fact, as hot as, do y'all ever play a barrel of monkeys? You just got one monkey left and you're just trying to hook it. You're shaky. You're feeling hot. You're sweating. That was a good fact.
Oh, that's hot. That's really hot. All right, I'm going to bring it home with our last fact of the day, which is about the mysterious death of Mary Hardy Reaser. I sound like I'm on a true crime podcast.
A hard pivot.
Cookie Monster. I just thought this was really interesting. This is a woman whose cause of death is coded as spontaneous combustion. And they cannot figure it out. It's a mystery. And the only thing that they couldn't explain is if she spontaneously combusted. But basically, what also is really funny is Chloe and I are watching a really trashy lesbian reality show called Tampa Bays. And it's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
But they were just talking about going to St. Petersburg. And I lived in Tampa for like 3 years when I was little. She lived in St. Petersburg. And I thought that was a nugget you would enjoy.
I did.
And also, all of the articles about her are like the Tampa Bay Gazette. So take this fact with a grain of salt. We don't know if it's real. But basically, one day, she was just like in her home. Nothing like was odd about the day. I think her husband had already passed, so she was by herself. She was in her like late 50s, and the neighbors heard a loud bang and smelled smoke, and they were like, oh no, something's happened. What I think is funny is that the neighbor who heard it was like, I'm not going in here. Found some like local firemen or something and was like, go in there and see what happened. And he walks in and sees like a limb and is like, what the hell? And just the way that she had, you know, combusted, the way that she had exploded couldn't have been from like something external coming in. They couldn't find any like weapons. They couldn't find any like actual explosive. The area of the combustion was just her and the chair. So nothing else was destroyed. There was like smoke, but only in a small area of the ceiling, like directly under where she was sitting. So it truly, they were like, we don't know what happened. A neighbor said that a ball of light came in through her window. So they were wondering if she got like struck by lightning, but because there was no damage to like anything else, they were like spontaneous combustion. And I believe there's two other cases of spontaneous combustion. I didn't look into them. I'm so sorry. But yeah, I think that's wild.
This is what happens in Iron Man 3.
It is, yeah.
Oh, I never saw. Does someone really spontaneously?
And they also make a reference to a barrel of monkeys.
Have you ever seen Iron Man?
This is time I'm to share. I wrote Iron Man.
Chloe, Shane Black. Sorry, cat's out of the bag and monkey's out of the barrel. Boom. Chloe's my friend in LA who keeps getting work, and I'm scared to be around.
Whoa.
Freaky.
Sorry, I showed my nipples one time and I got a lot of jobs.
But I honestly feel worse for the guy who, like the first woman who's like, something is freaky here. Mm. I'm sending someone else in who isn't invested in this to look at it. Like, oh, that poor guy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can you go check on my neighbor? Sure, I'll check on your neighbor. You didn't tell me. You heard an explosion.
How long That's terrifying. Ago did it happen? Did you say?
Sorry, this was in the 60s.
And they still don't know?
I mean, they probably don't have enough information to like actually calculate.
But I mean, anything. You said it happened to two other people.
Yeah, what the fuck is it was Dr. There was a guy named Dr. Bentley and Helen Conway who also died. Oh, I'm so sorry. I apologize. They died in the 60s. Mary Hardy Reeser died in 1951. But they also died of spontaneous combustion, but hers has more information and is covered more in depth in the papers because the neighbors were all like involved in getting info.
This really, wow, that era, this sounds like Cold War experimentation. This sounds like 100%. Some like state secret, we're trying to turn people into like weapons or something. I mean,
that's Iron Man 3.
Yeah. It's Iron Man 3.
Yeah. I was like, did she accidentally ingest something that like caused a reaction?
Yeah.
Did something like that happen? But yeah, it's sad.
It reminds me of like the Rapture, which is like a religious thing that my mother used to go on about where people got taken as overcome a type.
I've watched
The Leftovers.
Yeah, The Left Behind.
Which also is one of my favorite TV shows, and I can never remember the name of it, which is really messed up.
Yeah, but it feels like just those three people were chosen, and everyone else just left here. Like,
they were really bad. I think I read she was a preschool teacher, but that also might be a fact I just added in for myself. I saw that
now
she
I'm
had...
Like, oh no, it was a prank by the school kids that went horribly wrong. They were like, we're gonna get Ms. Reese.
The woman who heard the explosion, her name was Pansy, which I find fun. She's a little bit of a pansy.
She sounds like a cousin of the Poppin' Fresh family.
This is where it all goes wrong.
Pansy's coming over.
They're not humans. They're biscuits.
That's right. Someone set their oven.
Pillsbury Pansy is like, I can't go in. I'm going to get burned.
Yeah.
It's really spooky.
Yeah, it's truly terrible.
Terrifying.
So how hot was it?
I mean, Rachel, that fact was as hot as Miss Reese when she went up.
Hi-yay-yay.
I'm sorry. It's okay.
Oh. Thank you so much.
Rachel, that fact is as hot as Don Cheadle's arms, which are just out and on display in the climactic sequence of Iron Man 3. It's just him and Robert Downey Jr. running around in t-shirts.
Thank you so much.
That was an actor ask. I didn't have that in originally. Thank you, Rachel. Your fact is as hot as Iron Man 4, in which we just kind of follow Gwyneth Paltrow and what her character is doing. I don't remember Iron Man 3, so I don't know what she's up to.
Is there an Iron Man 4, though?
Oh.
There's no. Not, but like...
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Who's to say?
Yeah, okay,
well, actually, say. Maybe there is. I feel like maybe...
What Chloe would know.
Yeah, Chloe would know.
And Gwyneth Paltrow's last scene in the Iron Man suit. So.
I can't say anything, but I will say... Be ready to see a movie in June.
Have you seen the clip? Sorry, I'm derailing for 1 second. Have you seen the clip of her not remembering what movie she was in?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
She's on a cooking show with the chef show, right? Wasn't it on the chef show?
Yeah.
Okay. And who is she with? I'm telling so many details. I don't remember anything else other than that she doesn't remember. He's like, oh yeah, the last time I saw you was on Spider-Man. And she's like, I've never been in Spider-Man. And he's like, no, like you were in the end of this movie. And she was like, I was not. And he was like, I'm so sorry, but you were in this movie.
I think it's because how they block shoot Marvel movies. It's just like, turn left now. This is for Thor. Then turn right now. You're doing this one. And you just cut them all up.
Yeah.
It's very understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is really funny because she's so adamantly like, I am absolutely not in that movie. And he's like, I'm so sorry, but you are.
I'm so sorry, but you are. Wow. Okay. I'm going to say, Rachel, that fact is as hot as I feel under the collar after watching an episode of Goop.
Ooh.
Ooh. Both ways.
Yeah.
It was a very visual moment for an audio medium. I'm both doing a poll and a classic yee, like get us out of here, and a fan. And like
it was spicy and
sexy.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Should I be haunted by this? I don't know. All right, Jess, I'm just going to bring it on. Now is the important time of the podcast where you have the honor, the privilege, the responsibility of choosing the hottest fact of the day, which I didn't warn you ahead of time, which is fun.
Okay.
We're going to recap the facts because sometimes we have a hard time remembering what we brought in. So we started with Chloe.
Yes, we'll do altruism for nipples. Hard nipples.
Nipple altruism.
Bez?
Characters' real names.
And spontaneous combustion.
There are so many hot facts.
But of course, there was also the Dickens and Hans Christian Andersen.
You can't forget.
You pick your own.
Ding dong.
You can fully pick your own.
Listen, you can fully pick your own and we support it. Because little Hans, that's hot.
I need to go with specifically the part that I'm going to really noodle on, I think, is the permutation of the name for Bear being Man Who Knows About Honey.
Yes.
I think that's going to really, that's going to stick up in the old dome for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's what it was, right, Shem? Was it? Person who thing who knows about honey
knows where to find the honey.
Oh
yeah, knows where to find the honey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, knows about honey knows.
In Slovak.
Yeah, Slovak. I love that. That's the hottest fact.
Congratulations, Shem. Shem always does a great job of picking like origin of word facts. We were just talking about one that he talked about a long time ago, which is that it's in.
Oh, in Mandarin.
In Mandarin, yeah.
Oh, the Mandarin translation for penguin is business goose.
That's very good.
And I think about that. This is one that, Shem, you shared this, what, like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And I still think about it
yeah.
all the time. It's
That's really good.
It's really cute. So I gave you that little bonus one to noodle on.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I am better for knowing that that's business goose. That's really, really incredible.
It just makes you happy, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jess, if our listeners are like, oh, baby, I want to follow this girl on the internet, where can they find you?
That's so nice. You can follow me on Instagram at Jess McKenna. I have a Twitter, but it's basically like a tumbleweed space.
I feel that.
Yeah. So don't go there. And then, yeah, I am a co-host of a podcast called Off Book, where we improvise a musical, and you can listen to it wherever you find podcasts.
Yes. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I have to let you know.
Thank you.
It's so good. I love it.
Thank you so much.
She keeps singing the theme song like before you quite hear it. She'd be like, oh.
I did scare Chloe. Chloe was not seeing that coming, and I just kind of out of nowhere started singing it. It was great. Great times. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. This was super fun.
Yes, of course. As always, we are Trash Comedy. You can find us everywhere at We Are Trash Comedy. By the time this comes out, it'll be really close to our first live show back in person in a while. On February 24th at 7:30 is when doors are going to open at Art Cafe in Brooklyn, a new venue for us. You can come see us and say hey. We're also a part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Okay, goodbye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.